Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We've been dealing a lot with faith over the last couple of weeks, and it is that which is weak in our lives. Oh, yes, we say, I believe. But when push comes to shove, if somebody had a gun in front of you, would you still say, I believe in him, even if I knew I was going to be shot to death? What would I do? I'm not saying you're going to be, but I'm just saying we need our faith to be one of the strongest virtues that we have in life. I believe in God. I believe in his love. I believe in his care. I believe in his commandments. I seek to follow him all the days of my life here so that I might be with him in heaven. And that's true. That's not just a fairy tale for children. That's what God's going to do. I don't want to be condemned to hell. I'm sure I'll spend some time in purgatory, but I hope it's very little. I don't know. But even in purgatory, you know you're going to get to heaven. But I would love to just die and go to God, but that's for the saints. And I'm not there yet. But what God wants is our faith that says, Lord, I love you. I want to follow you. I want to listen to your word. I want to be true to it, that more people may come to know you and love you and serve you. So with that in our hearts, let's take a look at the first reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 3-9. When Abraham prostrated himself, God spoke to him. My covenant with you is this. You are to become the father of a host of nations. No longer shall you be called Abram. Your name shall be called Abraham. For I am making you the father of a host of nations. I will render you exceedingly fertile. I will make nations of you. Kings shall stem from you. I will maintain my covenant with you and your descendants after you throughout the ages as an everlasting pact to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land in which you are now staying, the whole land of Canaan, as a permanent possession, and I will be their God. And God also said to Abraham, on your part, you and your descendants after you must keep my covenant throughout the ages. Brothers and sisters, we can get so sidetracked. There are so many things in life calling us here, calling us there, desiring something that isn't of God. Brothers and sisters, God wants us. I'm not saying that you have to be perfect. I'm saying that your orientation, the way you look, the beginning of every day is at God. I want to please you, Lord, today. I want to love you, Lord, today. I want to follow you, Lord, today. And that's what we have to do each and every day of our lives, I think. I think we need to reaffirm at the beginning of the day so that no matter what happens to us in the course of the day, we can return to what we promised him. I want to belong to you. I want you to live in me and work through me. Brothers and sisters, what a gift that is, and God will give it. God gives his gift of faith to us, but we have free will. And so we can choose to say, oh, well, someday when I'm old, I'll think about that. We need to think about it now, right now in our lives, whether we're young or middle-aged or old, we need to think of it and to say, Lord, let this day please you. The Lord remembers his covenant forever, says Psalm 105. Look to the Lord in his strength. Look at his strength. That's what you live out of, his strength, not yours. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and the judgments he has uttered. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, that's us, that's you and me. He, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth, His judgments prevail. He is my God. I'm not my own God. Sometimes we act that way, but I'm not my own God. He remembers forever His covenant, which He made binding for 1,000 generations, which He entered in with Abraham and by His oath to Isaac. Down through the generations, this faith has been passed on. Brothers and sisters, we're living in a world that really works in many ways against faith. And I want you to take a look at yourself, not your neighbor, just yourself. Where is my faith weak? What do I need to do? How do I need to pray? What do I need to read? And you can say, I am so busy, I don't have time for anything. Well, if you're too busy for God, you're too busy, period. Except for a certain project or a certain span of time. But if life is just too busy for you, slow down and ask yourself, what is most essential here in my day? My relationship with God and my relationship to my family. And if I'm alone, my relationship to God and my relationship to others. Am I really living that? Stop and think. Stop and ask the Lord. Lord, get me back on the right course again. Help me, and He will do it. Even if you notice that at this moment my voice is difficult, it's just life. And sometimes I think, well, there could be a little work of the enemy here keeping me from communicating. Sometimes it's just me. But sometimes it can be the enemy working. And you want to say, Lord, protect me, protect you, that we may testify to your goodness, your truth, your beauty. Well, brothers and sisters, we have so much to do and so many people to reach. We look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 51 to 59. Jesus said to the Jews, Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. Not eternal death. That's what he means. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever keeps my word will never see death. So the Jews said to him, Now we are sure that you're possessed. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham who died, or the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is worth nothing. But it is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God. You do not know him, but I know him. And if I should say that I do not know him, I would be like you, a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid and went out of the temple area. What Jesus is saying is the truth. And he met so much opposition. Jesus violated this. He didn't do that. All the kinds of temptations that they had, they placed on him. Brothers and sisters, we're so loved by God. Do you know that? Do you know how loved you are? Do you know how much you're cared for? Every moment, God never forgets you for a second. That's what it is to be God. He has an infinite memory. He knows you. He knows all about you, and he cares about you. He wants you with him forever. I keep saying this, but brothers and sisters, we say, oh yeah, those are nice words. But do you know that the heart of God longs for us? The heart of God prays for us. Our God wants to see us face to face. He wants us to be with him. It's the greatest desire of his heart for us on earth here, that we might see his face and live. Brothers and sisters, think about this. Turn your heart to him and seek what you can do. Even though we're coming near to the end of Lent, it's still a time to say, what is the biggest thing in my life that holds me back from loving God? What place does God have in my life? Is it just a functionary prayer here and there? Or do I really walk with him, live with him? God loves you, and he wants you to know him forever. We read in Magnificat, there's a marvelous little reading here at the end of it. He says, this is St. Francis of Paola, and he says, put aside your hatred and animosity. Take pains to refrain from sharp words. If they escape your lips, do not be ashamed to let your lips produce the remedy, since they have caused the wounds. Pardon one another so that later on you will not remember the injury. The recollection of an injury adds to our anger, nurtures our sin, and hates what is good. It is a rusty arrow and a poison for the soul. It puts all virtue to flight. It is like a worm in the mind. It confuses our speech and tears to shreds our petitions to God. It is foreign to charity. It remains planted in the soul like a nail. It is wickedness that never sleeps, sin that never fails. It is indeed a daily death. Fix your minds on the passion of our Lord, inflamed with love for us. That's what God's asking. Can we do that? You say, oh, I'm so busy. I have so much. But if, even just to stop and say, Lord, make me more like you. Or, Lord, help me to overcome this temptation. Help me to overcome this sin. Show me the way that brings me closer to you. Any one of those little sentences or anything that you have in mind, bringing it to him. He hears you. You're not talking to an empty room. He's right here with you. He loves you. He wants to draw you closer to himself. And I want to encourage you to yield. Now is the time to yield and to start again. And I'll say more about that in the coming weeks, because we don't just say it in Lent and then go off on something else. I'll talk more about that in the coming weeks. But please, right now, ask God to give you the grace to make a decision, perhaps in one area that you're especially concerned about in your life, or to deal with wanting to increase your faith that's weak, or whatever it might be, in whatever way that you know you have offended God. Let's ask God to give us grace now. Give us hope now. To persevere, to do what he wants, and to rejoice in the coming days. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.